All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 28th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is 56 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. I don't know. I just saw a little earlier today that we are about ready to get about 5 inches of rain over the next few days here in the upper northeast. So should be fun. They said it might fix the drought just before winter comes. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Hubris, FDA, CRISPR, Monsanto and Bayer, oh my. We talked about a lot of things. We actually started off talking about some of the millimeter wave technologies that we spent an entire week looking at last week and the different frequencies and some of the things that they can do that would almost make you believe that it was science fiction, but it's not. But we continued looking into some of the things that are now happening with Monsanto licensing the technology of CRISPR from the Broad Institute, which is a collaboration between Harvard and MIT with Georgie Church on board, as well as Harvard, because you have Georgie Church directly involved in this. And we found out that they gave Monsanto a contract, basically. They said, with this use of this CRISPRing technology, giving you the most powerful gene editing tool in the world. You know, remember they democratized that across the planet, Adagene, by sending out 60,000 copies. And we've also had high-level military, I'm trying to remember, I don't know, we read that story back a few weeks ago, the, I don't know if it was the head of the NSA or DOD, one of them, went up in front of the Armed Services Committee and testified as to how these new 21st century technologies are also considered the new 21st century weapons of mass destruction. So here we have this technology that could be used to splice and dice any way, shape, or form. We've looked at so many different examples of CRISPRing humans. I mean, literally, they can CRISPR anything on the planet now where they have a DNA sequence. Plants, animals, foods, insects. We can not only CRISPR, but we can CRISPR and start swapping gene sequences. I know it's very frightening. You know, they've already talked about CRISPRing humans. We're going to get to some of that because there were two milestones that happened just yesterday. But before we get there, I really like to kind of set the stage to get us to where we're going to go. So we found out yesterday, we read a story way back when, and then there was some new info on this, that the FDA has been allowing publications in science journals for a long time that maybe later have been proven to be fraudulent or maybe incorrect, but they never forced anyone to go back and start correcting the publications or redacting or removing the publications from the science journal. So as we have all these different quote unquote scientists and officials coming out and pointing to the science, telling us why we're bad, why those anti-vaxxers are bad, why those anti-GMO people are bad, because look at the proof. Look at the proof. It doesn't prove that there's anything wrong. Look at the studies. Yeah, well, we've discovered, even though we read studies here as well as part of the show, this is where I get my information from, but we discovered you might as well, like, close your eyes, spin around in a circle, and try and touch the wall and find the donkey's butt, because it's as much of a toss-up as to whether or not that study is going to be fully legit or not. We found out that there's tons and tons and tons corporate interest money and megalomanias in science and research. And a lot of these people are going for fame and fortune. They want to get published. It's all about getting your name out there and being the first and spinning out an IPO. Some of these research dollars that you got from military and or taxpayer funds that were sprinkled on you because of some federal White House initiative is part of this 21st century moving America forward initiative. So we got all this shoddy research then. We find out the FDA that was supposed to be keeping us safe really isn't, because they're now being sued over alleged manipulation of the data. I had a story the other day. I don't know what I did with it. I thought I had it here, but I think, I don't know. I'm so brain dead in the morning. It was about that Albany professor who had brought all kinds of large corporations and money into the SUNY university system and into Albany. And the state had given him carte blanche to go do whatever he wants. And he'd get all kinds of money, and they kept giving him raises because he's bringing all this economic development, getting all this new equipment, building all these new buildings, forming all these new departments of all this new 21st century medicine at the University of Albany, turning into this high-tech hub for the 21st century cures. But then they found out that it's all loaded with corruption. He wasn't allowing things to go to bid. He was given kickbacks, and he was writing bids to favor just one vendor, which then eliminates any of the competition. Well, that's absolutely a big no on state and federal contract. You cannot do that. We've talked about the contract system before, probably not in detail, but I mentioned it before. When you go out to FBO.gov, and you search DARPA, that's where you can find out a lot of the DARPA stuff that's future up and coming. Because that's where the federal agencies will put out their request for proposal from companies like where I used to work, where we were a technology reseller. You know, there's all kinds of different resellers. They can be looking for anything, whether it be computer products or some sort of biological insanity. But the state has a very similar system. And a lot of the time, the feds will use the state system as well. But there is a state contract. Every state has one. And it's for doing business distinctly with the state. There's a fixed price. There's rules. And it's supposed to guarantee that there's equality and everyone has a good chance to win a state bid. Because guess what? That's big money. A lot of business. And a lot of times it's recurring. It's over a set number of years that you're going to be able to get business out of this. So anyway, long story short, just one big example. And I mean, the guy wasn't doing anything evil in his lab, but he most certainly was a big scientist at the university that they gave controls, and he loved his Ferraris, he said, his fast cars, and living in the fast lane. And this fed his lifestyle. And even though he was very successful, he got there through very underhanded means. And they got busted now. It's a very large corruption case that's being investigated. A large number of people at a large university system. I mean, the SUNY system in New York is second to none. It's an amazing, just so you know, for as much as some of these things in New York really bother me, my friends down south call it New Korea up here. It really isn't that bad. The one reason why I've always stayed in New York is because, A, before this Common Core crap, we did have the Regents for education in K-12. And Regents always set the bar high. It did teach you to take tests just like Common Core, you know, geared you toward test taking, but had a lot of leeway, and the standards were very high, unlike Common Core, which is lowest common denominator. Getting a Regents diploma was not easy, but then they also had funded and created the SUNY University system, which is a very high quality but low priced university system. for in-state students or out-of-state can go here as well, but it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more. And because of New York City and all the millions of people we have there, it's a very popular, very well-to-do university system. You have lots and lots and lots of kids from Long Island traveling to upstate New York to come to Buffalo and Albany. We had SUNY Brockport and Rochester. We got all the community colleges are now tied into that system as well. So it's very disappointing to me because the SUNY system is really kind of like one of the big feathers in New York's cap. And it does drive a lot of economic development and brings lots of new companies. We had these economic tax-free zones right around some of the universities to bring in a lot of high-tech firms and start building jobs and stuff. And it's very disappointing to me that this is going to put a big stain on some of the good things that I saw happening. So anyway, just as an example, though, so this is how, even if you're making tons of money and you're very successful and you're a really, really smart scientist, don't think you are immune to having lots and lots of pride, thinking yourself to be invincible. And that seems to be a recurring theme here. A lot of these people who are deciding that they're going to take the reins on these technologies that make up the very building blocks of life on this planet, like CRISPR, all seem to have one thing in common. And that is this need for control over things that they have no right to control. You shouldn't have to be able to control the bees or the weather or people's thoughts or blood cells in my body or reproduction of mosquitoes. That's another one. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. So we looked at gene drives as part of this Monsanto CRISPR broad institute agreement. And one of the things that they told Monsanto, who right now is waiting to get the go-ahead from the antitrust guys to be purchased by Bayer. And I have some information about Bayer we might look at here in a minute once we start establishing this. But remember, Bayer was a spinoff of good old IG Pharma and more commonly known as Hell's Cartel, I guess. And they worked very closely with Hitler's Germany. They had their own slave workforce to help produce product for the Nazis. It's pretty disturbing because Bayer has actually officially even come out and apologized for the Nazi occupation and using slave labor to make their products. It's just frightening. So now we have the same company who's making drugs and agri-seeds who's now buying another big monster who's making food and agri-seeds and pesticides. And also Bayer makes pesticides. They make aspirin. They make all kinds of things. Get these same companies that have been messing around with these technologies are now looking at licensing a technology that can be used for population suppression. We've talked about this. Gene drives started all with Oxitec. But they can use gene drives for population suppression or population elimination. Now, Bill Gates has invested quite a number of times now in Oxitec, the creators of the genetically modified Aedes aegypti mosquito. Oxitec started as a sprinkle group at Oxford University that then spun out and IPO'd itself and now became Oxitec out of England. They're running around the world saying what an ecological wondrous thing this is. We don't have to spray all kinds of pesticides from companies such as Monsanto and Bayer and kill all the bees. No, we can just use these genetically modified mosquitoes that have been CRISPRed. Yes, they CRISPR mosquitoes as well. And as a matter of fact, we've run this trait through an entire population of mosquitoes. We use this thing called gene drive. It could just go right through and bzoop, in one generation. We can make a full genomic change to the entire local species. Well, that's a scary thought. It's a scary thought because you have people such as Bill Gates, like I said, who's been investing in this technology for a very long time. MIT Technology Review, Bill Gates doubles his bet on wiping out mosquitoes with gene editing. This is September 6, 2016. We actually read this when this first came out. But I just want to kind of touch on this because we ended the show yesterday with a Washington Post story, and I really, that's where I want to get to today. What is the difference? Or how is it different for gene editing versus eugenics? And this is where I'm seeing there's some scary stuff happening, and we are being led down this path to believe that with these new technologies, such as CRISPR, that we are just so technologically advanced that we'll be able to look at the building blocks of life and find all the errors. And hey, maybe with artificial intelligence and DNA databasing and a million people stepping right up and checking that box to be part of that cohort program, the 23andMe database that's interacting with the National Institute of Health. Yeah, don't worry about it. We might be able to find all the switches that need to be flipped to make you a non-defective human. But until that point, all of us are defective. We have all kinds of genetic damage through whether or not maybe you drank too much, you didn't get enough sleep, or you ate, I don't know, some pesticides you shouldn't have, that then screwed up your genes. Oh, you got stressed out, Johnny, when you were 22 years old. Look, you are not good breeding stock. And we've established that. I've done so many stories now over the last year or so. But all these different crazy things they've discovered not only messes up your DNA permanently, I saw smoking now too, but can be passed down to future generations. Well, if you really think long and hard about that one, in this new vision for the 21st century where they want to make sure that they cure all disease. Remember, it costs way too much money. And now that we have socialized medicine, it's going to be all of our responsibilities to maintain our health so we don't soak the system. Remember, Nana, when you get a little too old, you're going to require a little extra care. You're going to be a tax on society, so you better stay healthy. You better get your biosensor so we can track you 24/7 and maybe even the little nano doctor in your blood so we can cure you long before diseases become a burden. I know, we get a little far down the path, but guys, this is all tied to CRISPR. This is all tied to these same technologies and to these same people. Anyway, let's take a look really quick at Billy Gates, Mr. Eugenicist himself, doubling down his bet on wiping out mosquitoes with gene drives. And those CRISPR gene drives. Technique called gene drive is a way to spread traits through wild populations of animals, I'll put in parentheses, and humans. But its ability to alter nature is drawing opposition from some environmental groups. This Gates-funded project called Target Malaria is based at where, oh yes, the Imperial College London, and has been seeking to add instructions to the DNA of malaria mosquitoes that would cause them to become sterile. Guys, we are talking population elimination here. If these mosquitoes all become sterile, guess what? They don't reproduce, and guess what? Eventually, they all die out. The defective malaria mosquitoes die out. And if these are released in the wild, the gene drive could push these species to extinction. Ding, ding, ding. Now, we have tech billionaires. Tech billionaires. Not just Bill Gates. We got Zuckerberg. We're going to talk about him. We got Elon Musk. We got Kurzweil. We got all these crazies running around deciding that they're going to cure death as a disease. They're going to cure cancer. They're going to make sure that you live forever. We got Peter Thiel, who's kicking off his experiment of putting the blood of young creatures into old creatures to discover what it is that makes you young again. It's called parabiosis. Been messing around with that for a century. They've discovered that if you connect up the blood vessels of an old creature to a new creature, and you let that new creature blood flow into you, the old creature, it's going to make you young. And guess what? Makes the young creature old. And we're talking about some real insanity going on here. And if the prize isn't winning a few contracts or making $1 million. These guys are all rich already. They're billionaires. The prize isn't wiping out a species of mosquito so the world doesn't get malaria and Zika. No, they don't give two shits about that. What they're going for is A, to be able to live as long as possible, potentially even forever. Longevity, the fountain of youth. And don't think that that's crazy, because it's not. They are really pushing. Part of this whole 21st century cure thing is to be able to live for as long as possible, maybe even forever. And guess what? Even though you and I are the guinea pigs right now, step right up for these clinical trials to test this new 21st century splicing and dicing, in the end, it's not for you. You won't be allowed to live to be 352. The only way you might be able to be allowed to live to 352 is if you were a smart cookie and they could use you somehow, and they turned off your ability to reproduce. If you're going to have a population who doesn't die and recycle like the rest of nature, well, they're worried about the 7 billion people on this rock right now. And supposedly, our planet can't support all these people. You know, climate change and stuff. But if you're going to have 7 billion people who, with these 21st century cures, might be able to live forever, well, obviously, those 7 billion people cannot have children. And again, is everybody fit to have children? Well, probably not. Let's take a look at their DNA. See what kind of traits they have. Oh, look, he's got the dumb gene. Oh, look, he's got the annoying gene. Well, we don't want any of those in our new 21st century Earth 2.0. I mean, these people are going to have the power of gods. These people are going to be able to decide who is going to be part of the future breeding stock and who is not. Who is going to be part of the future ruling class and who is not? Who is going to be one of the few humans found useful enough to keep around when the robots and artificial intelligence take all the jobs? Remember, once AI and automation kicks in full steam and they think, yes, telling everyone, don't worry about it. We're going to give you universal basic income every month and you can sit around and look pretty and do nothing. That puts you on the list of useless eater. Okay? That puts you on the list of carbon creating, damaging to the environment entity that potentially will need to be exterminated like the mosquitoes. Ding. All right. Let's look at a little more here. So I hope I've established the scariness of the connections that I see here. And good old Evil Billy is rubbing his evil hands together in the picture in this story. And you know what? Just for shits and giggles, I'm going to drop that Georgie Porgy rubbing his evil hands together picture in chat to give you a morning laugh. But Bill Gates is very, very excited about gene drives. So not only do we have Billy Gates, we talked about Georgie Church, we talked about the Broad Institute and them licensing the technology of CRISPR to Monsanto, who is in the process of being purchased by Bayer, who was a spinoff from IG Farben, who worked with the Nazis at exterminating lots of people. Hey, nothing to worry about, people. Now, we've established as well that a lot of what Monsanto had been tinkering with a long time back was being able to splice and dice food and mess with CRISPR back almost 2 years ago. We had found that on their forward-looking statement of some of the technology that they were going to mess with that year. It was in the budget. And we had looked a lot at some of the genetic modification of food back to the 80s and how back at that time they had also been messing around while genetically modifying food into making edible vaccines. And one of the things that they had done out of Japan was turned mosquitoes into flying vaccinators that leishmaniasis, the elephant man disease, they were able to splice and dice a mosquito. So when the mosquito bit you, instead of giving you the disease, it actually gave you a vaccine against the disease. Bill Gates had actually mentioned mosquitoes as flying vaccinators way back at a conference. And when I saw that and I saw his investments in mosquitoes and gene drives right now, really makes you wonder. But we also found the edible vaccines, where for things like cholera or even the malaria goats, that was another creation of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, be able to splice and dice genes into a goat. So the goat would produce malaria vaccine in the milk that it produced and then go to all the little unsuspecting villages in Africa and start giving them malaria goats. They didn't need to know that there was a vaccine in there and there was nobody coming at gunpoint. They were just happy to get the little goat. So when we look at how they've been splicing and dicing food for a very long time, the technology is out there. They're doing tons of research still in India. But edible vaccines, here it's just going to be in tobacco and lettuce, I believe, is what we found out of Texas A&M and Penn University, expressing antibodies out of greens. The potential is absolutely there to create things not only such as vaccines or some sort of whatever in food with this technology, but also to be able to make quote unquote more nutritious foods, less fatty foods. We found out in that story yesterday that, yes, this whole CRISPRing technology, too, gets to go under the radar of any type of labeling laws or requirements at all. So they don't have to tell you. It's genetic modification that isn't being considered genetic modification, because there's no foreign DNA in it, they're saying, but they're still manipulating DNA in an organism that then is going on the market for you to eat, in this case. It says, Monsanto may have just ended the war on GMOs. This is one of the two stories that I had on this merger of Bayer, Monsanto, and purchasing this CRISPR technology. Says the next genetically modified food you eat probably won't be a GMO. Now, let's just mix up the terms. People don't pay enough attention. People aren't bright enough, generally speaking, to understand what the differences are between traditional GMO and CRISPRing. I explained it yesterday. Traditional GMO, you would have an organism that would be modified with another organism's DNA, typically a bacteria or a virus, and they would use that then to invade the new organism, get into its cells and reproduce to then get that DNA into the target. That was genetic modification. It had foreign DNA from another organism inside of it intentionally. CRISPRing doesn't require that. We can zip, 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 unzip, take that DNA sequence, reorder it, and then zip a new one back in, changing the traits, utilizing the DNA of the target organism. So no foreign, mosquito DNA in a goat. They just now take, I don't even know how they do a malaria goat now. They'd have to take the raw materials on how to make malaria vaccine and somehow put that ATC and G together out of that original organism's DNA, maybe. I don't know. But regardless, so now they're considering this new technology, CRISPR, to not produce genetically modified organisms. Now, come on. That's called splitting hairs. I'm going to tell you, on any planet I've ever been on, this happens to be the only one, but genetic modification is genetic modification. It means that your genes, your DNA, has been altered. I don't see anywhere in the words genetic modification or GMO, genetically modified organism, I don't see anything that would tell me that it's only if DNA from another organism got stuck into it. It's called genetically modified. What about genetic or modification is gray here? Because it's not. So whether or not you have something from another organism stuck into you, or whether or not they've actually gone in and changed your genetic makeup, I think those are both considered GMO. But according to the law, nope, they're not. Well, danger, Will Robinson. Because that means they just opened the doors. Pandora got out, as did all of her little minions. They're going to be hitting the whole food supply. And with the TPP coming, they're still pushing that sucker. And they got rid of all those country of origin labeling laws. They also, passed this bill that said, oh, yeah, your right to know Food Safety Act or whatever. But it weakens all the labeling laws to boot. It was just a feel-good bill. Well, guess what, guys? Because it didn't matter. Because with CRISPR, they don't need to tell you anything. The next generation modified food you probably eat won't be GMO. At least not in the conventional sense of the term, which stands for genetically modified organism. It'll probably be made using CRISPR, a new technique that lets scientists precisely tweak the DNA so it can be used to do things like survive drought or avoid turning brown, like some of those new apples that are out there. On Thursday last week, the agricultural giant Monsanto nabbed the licensing rights to the technology from where? Oh, yes, the Broad Institute, to use its seed in development. And this is the first license the Institute has issued to a company for use in agriculture. Guys, is that not frightening? Like, please tell me. We were looking the other day about the Broad Institute and their ethics. The fact that literally the very first license of CRISPR to an agricultural company happens to be what, Monsanto, tells me we got a big, big problem. Harvard geneticist Georgie Church thinks that these crops might be our last best hope for ending this war against GMOs, which he and dozens of other experts call misguided once and for all. Oh my God, do you hear this? Let's give it all out. CRISPR, we're going to CRISPR the planet. We are going to democratize splicing and dicing, and we're going to end this war against you thinking resistant consumers. We just got rid of all the labeling. Enter diabolical laughter with hand rubbing. And we're slipping it into your food supply, whether you like it or not. And if we want to put a little medication in there to tamp you down, make you a little stupider, make you a little mellower, who's going to know? Because guess what? We don't need to tell you shit now. George Church recently told Business Insider, quote, "It is a beautiful thing," unquote. If that is not pure evil, I don't know what is. Force it down my throat. You guys, I told you, I got a thing about food. I am really freaking picky. This is making me so beyond angry, you don't even know. Like, psycho angry. We watched that interview with Georgie Church. He's the same one that's going to be bringing back the woolly mammoth. He's the same one that's creating the synthetic human genome. And now he's saying it's such a beautiful thing. They have licensed this technology to Monsanto to finally put this ridiculous, misguided debate to bed for all you stupid people that are concerned about the potential damage or the potential dangers of us messing around with AT&T. The U.S. Department of Agriculture seems to agree, as does Monsanto. And the USDA has already moved two crops made with CRISPR, and that is a mushroom as well as a type of corn, closer to the grocery shelves by opting not to regulate them like conventional GMOs. DuPont, who is the company making the corn, says that it plans to see the crop in farmers' fields in the next few years. And I also remember that they released that Simplot potato as well, so it doesn't get brown spots. So what makes these crops not GMO, you might ask? Well, it all comes down to the method that scientists use to tweak the genes, and CRISPR's far more precise method of modifying. And instead of relying on genetic engineering, people are referring to when they talk about GMOs, which involves swapping a plant's genes with a chunk of DNA from another organism, such as a bacteria. CRISPR now allows scientists to swap out a letter or two with the plant's genetic code, A, T, C, and G, and replace it with another one that, say, won't make the crop turn brown. Now, another thing to point out, and we've established this, is they've come up with two new amino acids to add to the DNA chain. Those are alien DNA, synthetic DNA, and I'm sure Georgie Church was highly involved in that. They called those proteins, amino acids, X and Y, and don't get that confused. I mentioned that before with males and females. It has nothing to do with males and females. It's two new letters on the double helix. And they think it's going to be great. It can give them, I don't remember, 147 new permutations to be able to create things like drugs. Drugs to cure you. Put on a seatbelt, people, because it's also probably going to be used in some of the new synthetic life that Georgie wants to create. And if they don't need to tell you what's in your food, hey, who knows? Let's put a few X and Y's in there and see what happens. CRISPR was introduced in 2013 as a genome editing tool in a couple of common laboratory plants, including a weed called Arabidopsis and a tobacco plant. And since then, researchers have experimented with a number of crops, including oranges, potatoes, wheat, rice, and tomatoes. And yeah, our good potatoes, rice, and tomatoes have been on the list for a long time, since the 80s, doing GMO. Says by the end of 2014, a flood of research into agricultural uses for CRISPR such included the use of a spectrum application from boosting crop resistance to pests to reducing the toll of livestock disease. Yes, see, they were putting medications into the creation or maybe even nutraceuticals. Reduce the toll of livestock disease. Of course, George Church would prefer that people embrace GMOs as they are now, since numerous paid shills have all determined that they are safe forever and ever. And after all, he said, Americans have embraced GMOs in other things like clothing. I think we all forget about that. More than 80% of all the cotton in this country that goes into things like t-shirts is genetically modified. But see, the reason why they embrace it is because they don't have a freaking clue. People don't realize that you're wearing genetically modified cotton, the same one that causes Indian farmers to commit suicide. No. And it makes you wonder, as you're using this cotton on your very newborn baby, or wearing it as underwear or female sanitary products, or the washcloth you're washing your face with, or the t-shirt, the 20 t-shirts, one you wear every day of the month, sitting against your skin. Where are the long-term studies on that? Where are the long-term studies making sure that there is no transfer of anything between the one material and the other? Because I haven't seen them. They've just deemed it all safe, 100%. Don't worry about it. And you don't even need to know, because we don't even label things like clothing as being organic. Though I remember probably about 10 years back when I first had my daughter, going shopping and seeing organic t-shirts and thinking to myself, it's just a money scheme, organic, what? It was just ridiculous. But now, 10 years down the line, I'm going, holy crap, we got cotton in everything. We got cotton in some very close worn products that are touching your body all the time. And I've never seen a study about the effects of GMO cottons in particular being that close to the human body and interacting with us so much, whether or not it causes any issues in the future. So pay attention to that. If anyone could ever find a study on something like that, I'd love to see it. Anyway, this is the reason why I read this story, is because I wanted to read this last statement from our good old buddy George Church of the Broad Institute. He says, quote, I hope people wake up one day and realize, hey, almost everything is genetically modified. It's in the air, it's on our bodies, and it's in our medicine. Maybe we can get over the genetically modified food controversy, says Church. Well, guys, George Church would know. George Church says it's in almost everything. It's in the air, it's in the body, and it's in our medicine. Now, we've suspected that for a very long time, but that is out of the mouth of one of the creators of the technology. So now let's take this technology that's going to genetically modify the planet, animal, plant, insect, human. Let's license it and give it to a company such as Monsanto that is being purchased by Bayer, who's a spinoff of IG Farben, who worked at Auschwitz with the Nazis. Now, I want to read a little bit. This was actually, and I don't know, say whatever you will about revisionist history with the Holocaust or whether or not it was all fully true or whatever. Actually, I have a part one of three interview this past Saturday. I aired part one with Tim Kelly. I don't remember the, I might be able to see it here. I have this other screen. I don't remember his guest, but by the way, it was deemed not advertiser friendly. Our Interesting Times with Tim Kelly, part one of three with Jermar Rudolph on Holocaust revisionism. That was Saturday's show. And it is ripped up in the YouTube archives. Very, 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 very interesting interview. I have part two coming next Saturday. But regardless of any of that, let's just read the facts here. It says, and this was the 60th anniversary of Auschwitz back in 2005. This was from Auschwitz 60th year anniversary. The role of IG Farben-Bayer. Today, January 27th, 2005, marks the 60th anniversary of the Soviet liberation of the Nazi death camp Auschwitz. And elderly Holocaust survivors, former soldiers, and world leaders have gathered in Poland to mark its 60th anniversary. Several books shed light on the codependence of the military-industrial complex that enabled the Third Reich to execute the Holocaust. IG Farben, known as Hell's Cartel, was the pivotal company without whom Hitler could not have implemented his industrialized scientific Holocaust. Now, let's stop here for a second, because we found that there are other actors that are playing in this big global game that also tie back to Nazi Germany. Actually, there's quite a number of them. Operation Paperclip, we keep pointing to, we keep running across them in a lot of places, like with the United States Biowarfare Program, the Space Program, Manhattan Project. But don't forget there were also big companies involved, such as IBM. IBM that is now making Watson, and Watson that is now the artificial intelligence engine behind a lot of these hospitals and research cancer institutes for curing disease, Watson. And it also involves Granddaddy Bush working as a part of Harriman to finance the Nazis in Germany. It's frightening, people. There is such a connection back to the mad science that was going on there, and it was all imported, and it never died. IG Farben was the only German company in the Third Reich that ran its own concentration camp, and at least 30,000 slave workers died in this camp. A lot more were deported to the gas chambers, and it was no coincidence that IG Farben built their giant new plant in Auschwitz, since the workforce they used, altogether about 300,000 people, was practically for free. The Zyklon B gas was produced by IG Farben's subsidiary company, Degich, and they had medical experiments in Auschwitz that were conducted by IG Farben. Scientific experiments were also done in other concentration camps. And a decisive fact is that the IG employee, SS Major Dr. Helmut Vetter, stationed in several concentration camps, participated in these experiments by the order of Bear Leverkusen. And at that very same time as Dr. Joseph Mengele experimented in Auschwitz with medications that were designated B-1012, B-1034, or 3382. These test preparations were not only applied to prisoners who were ill, but also to healthy ones. These first people were infected on purpose through pills, powdered substances, injections, or enemas. And many of the medications caused the victims to vomit or have very explosive reactions. And in most cases, these prisoners died as a result. Unethical human experiments are a major threat to vulnerable populations everywhere, including in the U.S., where, for example, the EPA is seeking to conduct pesticide exposure experiments on children, ding, or many other things, guys, or opening up the door to companies such as Monsanto, to have CRISPR and then saying it's not GMO and allowing it into our entire food supply without telling anyone or doing any type of proper studies, as we find out that the FDA research that is required is half fraudulent. Yes. Those experiments on people, it never ended, guys. IG Farben culture continues to drive today's chemical pharmaceutical industry. Profit uber alles. That means anything goes. Profit above all else. And I'm telling you guys, they're megalomaniacs. And they want to control life. They believe they are gods and they can do anything. In Germany, a growing number of people do not understand that IG Farben's successor, Bayer, as well as another spinoff, BASF, and I've talked about them many times before. We might get back to them one day because Germany kicked them out. They moved their headquarters over here now. Still refuse to apologize for their misdeeds. It is hard to accept that after the war, the companies were allowed to keep IG Farben's entire property, where their surviving slave workers received nothing. And until today, Bayer BASF did not pay any wages to their former workers. And I don't know, this just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. But if there was ever a doubt, guys, I would really be concerned that we're giving a company that has spun out of IG Farben the technology to, again, experiment on people without them knowing, because there's no labeling. And good old Georgie Church says they're going to put this issue to bed. Stop your complaining, you ridiculous people. Shut up and eat what we give you. All in the name of profit and seeing how that will affect humans. And right now, the big push is to reduce population. Oh, all in the name of curing disease. All right, and speaking of curing all diseases, let's add to this insanity a few more tech billionaires. We got Mark Zuckerberg, who just last week, I think it was Wednesday, pledged $3 billion, with a B, billion dollars to cure all diseases. Well, thank God there's a Mark Zuckerberg, because we might all die out as a species if Mark Zuckerberg didn't dump $3 billion in to the mad science gone mad machine to cure all disease. And there's no self-preservation going on there. No, don't worry about it. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan want to rid the world of all diseases. The couple's Chan-Zuckerberg initiative announced an ambitious goal of curing, managing, or preventing all diseases by the end of the century. Today, just four kinds of diseases cause the majority of deaths, he says. We can make progress on all of them with the right technology. Sounding like Bill Gates more and more. This is about the future we want for our daughter and for children everywhere. To accomplish this, the initiative is going to invest at least $3 billion into scientific research over the next decade, including a $600 million investment into what is being called the Chan Zuckerberg Biohub. Ding, ding, da, ding. A new interdisciplinary research center that is being formed in cooperation with who? Oh, yes, Lizard's Pit, Stanford University, as well as UC San Francisco, and where? Ah, UC Berkeley, right where Jennifer Doudna lives. One of the BioHub's first projects will be a map of all human cells, which, of course, will be democratized and shared freely with researchers around the world. And then Chan and Zuckerberg first announced their initiative in December, which I don't remember that in December, but that's all right. At the time, they pledged to give away 99% of their Facebook stock during their lifetime. However, the initiative is not actually a not-for-profit or foundation. Instead, oh, here we go. We can make money on it. Remember, precision medicine is the way of the 21st century and the fueling of our economy, according to Obama. Instead, this is incorporated as a limited liability company, which means that the couple can use it for political lobbying or investments in private companies. And the initiative's initial focus has been on education, with investments going to startups. All right, so we got Zuckerberg investing $3 billion to cure all disease. Remember, live forever, Johnny. But we have Microsoft, who came out just the day after saying they're not going to cure all disease, but don't worry about it because they will solve cancer in the next 10 years. Microsoft says it'll solve cancer in the next 10 years. So we got another big tech conglomerate with Billy Gates. He slid in again part-time into that chairman seat. We also had the Allen Institute, Allen had been a co-founder with Gates of Microsoft. Allen Institute is going to be databasing all of the brain scans, all of the DNA, if you remember that. And he's got a longevity institute as well. Microsoft has announced an ambitious plan to use computer science to solve cancer within the next decade. And while that plan involves many, many ambitious projects, one of the most interesting involves creating ultra-small DNA computers that can live inside of a person's body, ding, ding, monitor for cancer cells, ding, ding, and then reprogram those cells into healthy cells as soon as they pop up. How many times have I told you guys about this? Here we go. And now Microsoft is going to get in on the game, and it really makes you wonder if once you get these in you, if Microsoft is going to require a licensing agreement. I think it's a very natural thing for Microsoft to be looking at this because we have tremendous expertise in computer science, and what is going on in cancer is a computational problem, says Chris Bishop from Microsoft Research. And remember, I told you guys, they have programming languages for cells right now, and they could program them just like a little computer. That Synlogix that spun out of MIT as well also is financing from Billy Gates to make that gut bacteria that can go in and tamp down on inflammation to cure disease. So this is not a crazy thing. To make this goal a reality, Microsoft, which isn't known for stepping so far outside of consumer electronics, has gathered a team of biologists and computer scientists from around the world to work on different aspects of cancer research. And add to that, Google's Life Sciences Division and Zuckerberg and DARPA and all these other lunatics working on moonshot projects. Says there is a group working on that moonshot idea to make computers out of DNA that will monitor and reprogram cells inside of the body. Guys, tomorrow is a very scary place. And I don't know about you, but I'm not all up for this. All right, guys, we're going to continue on this tomorrow. Everybody have an awesome Wednesday. And stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next. All right, everybody take care.